Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. How we doing, Corey?
Pretty good, Nick. Back in New York after my weekend in North Carolina. Not expecting the cold, but at least I'm home for some hoops.
Yeah, it's a little windy. You know, we should get warmer weather this week. I'm glad you enjoyed your mini vacation. But we're here to talk playoff basketball round two. Celtics, Sixers, both teams advance. 2 seed, 3 seed. You know, what can we take away from these two teams that we saw in the regular season matchup?
In the regular season matchup, I think what you can take away, what you can take away, I think, is the fact that the Sixers, I think, match up very well to the Celtics in the terms of Joel Embiid is pretty much a mismatch whenever the Sixers are going to play against the Celtics. I think we're going to see that, especially this round. You know, Embiid was kind of slow last round. I think this is a series where we're going to see Embiid pick it up, kind of like how he did in the regular season.
Yeah, the Celtics did, you know, win the regular season matchup 3-1, but like you mentioned, it's kind of always hard to take away something from the regular season, especially I think Ben Simmons really hit a new level at the end of the year and in the playoffs. And like you said, Embiid, we expect more because you definitely saw the rust, but you did see the flashes in round one. What can we take away from the Celtics first round series with the Bucks?
That it doesn't matter who's there, right? It doesn't matter that there's no Kyrie. It doesn't matter that there's no Gordon Hayward. Obviously, Jaylen Brown suffered an injury in game 7. It was his hamstring, I believe, right?
Yep, and he is out for game 1.
Right. That's big because he was huge for them. But we saw Terry Rozier step up in the game 7. Al Horford was consistent throughout. Jason Tatum's been really good. Marcus Smart is, you know, just getting those game legs back underneath him, but he's got a great impact on the floor for them. But Celtics, I think it was just that, you know, the fact that without their stars, they managed to win a first-round series, which a lot of people, including myself, you know, I thought they would win it, but I expected them to struggle, be up and down, which is what they did, but they still took care of business. But I think what you take out of it as a Celtics fan is, you know, this team just continues to battle despite whoever is hurt or not hurt.
Yeah, they just grinded out the win, like you said. You know, they kind of got a lucky matchup in the sense the Bucks were probably one of the worst teams heading into the playoffs in terms of momentum, but the Celtics really grinded out. They had their bad stretches offensively where they really missed Kyrie, but Marcus Smart, like you said, you know, when he came back, he gave the team a different punch, just something to make them a little bit more annoying, and now Horford's been solid like he has been all year. I think Brad Stevens' coaching obviously stepped out. Not many guys would probably start semi-Ojeleye on Giannis Antetokounmpo in a playoff series, and he did do that, and that honestly had a big impact.
No, for sure. I think he was huge all series.
What can we learn from the Sixers' first-round series with the Heat, other than the things we know about Joel Embiid, you know, the rest of the team?
I think we saw Ben Simmons, you know, without a jump shot, dominate. I was a little bit questionable if he could be as effective when the game, you know, kind of slows down the playoffs. But, you know, he was still doing the circus kind of dribbling. He was still splitting defenses, finding people for nice looks, rebounding. He was dominant. And then I think for me personally, you know, the three-point shooting. J.J. Redick was huge in the game one of the first-round series. He had 3 games over 20 points. Marco Bellinelli had several key games where he was knocking down threes. I think the role players around Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid are what really stuck out to me in the first series they had against Miami.
Yeah, you mentioned the role players, the versatility they can kind of have in different lineups when they put out Bellinelli, Redick, Ersan Ilyasova, Dario Saric, or Robert Covington, and then put out a Ben Simmons and kind of surround him with shooters. Very tough to defend because they do a good job cutting to the rim and also knocking down threes. Interesting thing about the Sixers, they're probably one of the more dominant teams in the first round, third highest net rating in round one.
Wow. And something else just to throw out there, the Sixers and Celtics never played when Marco Bellinelli and Ersan Ilyasova were a Sixer. So this, and Markelle Fultz wasn't healthy. So the Celtics are seeing a slightly different Sixers team that they saw in the regular season as well.
And not to mention that, you know, the Sixers have some type of irrational confidence right now, winning all these games for the last few months. It really helps. One thing, if I'm a Celtics fan, that I learned from the last round that I'm a little bit happy about is that the Sixers do have turnover problems at times. They've also protected the ball really well in round one, but they've also had turnovers, and that's something the Celtics can kind of force out of you with the defense they play.
I agree.
But moving on from there, I honestly just gave up my next point. But Celtics, where can the Celtics attack the Sixers?
I don't want to steal. You might as well just say it. Go ahead and start out with your point.
Yeah, they need to force turnovers. They need to be physical, grind out the game. You know, the Sixers can get careless with the ball. And I think that Boston maybe can be the more physical team. Miami was a more physical team at times, but they weren't just talented enough offensively. Boston has that same issue, but Brad Stevens probably might be able to come up with something with the different pieces they have around there. I think Jalen Brown's health is going to be big for the Celtics, like you mentioned.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, as you mentioned, them creating turnovers is key. I'm going to go on the opposite side. I think them taking care of the basketball is going to be key.
Yeah, was big in round one too.
Right. Without Jalen Brown being there for those first couple games, likely, obviously the Sixers like to get in transition and run with Ben Simmons and those guys. I think this, you know, for the Celtics, their best chance is to slow it down, grind it out. And I think they're really going to have to take care of the basketball. And like you said, create turnovers. The Celtics have to do all the hustle plays right if they're going to win this series.
Then another thing they can try to do is kind of force Embiid out of the paint, make him uncomfortable, get him out of the paint because he's such a defensive stopper. He has been in foul trouble a little bit. That's an area where maybe you try to attack him. Then, like, if you're the Celtics, you just got to make sure you can't let the Sixers get hot from three. Like we mentioned in the previous segment, there's just so many guys in this team that can knock down three or four in one night.
No, I agree. It's that next man up mentality.
What about the Sixers side? Where can they attack the Celtics?
I mean, for the Sixers, I think it's got to be in the paint. I know I always harp on the lack of size that the Celtics have, but, you know, with Jalen Brown hurt especially, that's one less defender who might guard against Ben Simmons or Robert Covington. I think Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid need to set the tempo early about attacking the paint. You know, really give it to Horford and Aaron Baines. Just bring it, Greg Monroe, all those guys. I think for the Sixers, just attack the paint and then try and, you know, space the floor for those shooters.
I agree. I think, you know, get in the paint, force some free throws, and you kind of want to slow down the Celtics offense. Don't let them get in transition because offense is such a problem for them. You want to force them into the half court. You're in terms of the Sixers offense, they want to keep the pace high, but they want to get back on transition defense, not allow the Boston to get any easy buckets because we've seen the problems they've had. Fifth worst true shooting percentage in round one. Just a lot of struggles offensively, and especially if Jalen Brown's out, it's going to be hard for guys to create their own shot against the Sixers who do have a couple of really good defenders.
Yeah, I mean, I think the worst case scenario for the Celtics would be, you know, not creating turnovers and then Philly just banging them down low and making this a really slowed down game where their offense can't really get going.
Yeah, and I think you attack, you know, the lack of Kyrie, the lack of point guard. Terry Rozier's had some really good games in round one, but he also had some really bad moments too. And then they have to bring in Shane Larkin, who had some decent moments, but still I think that's an area where the Sixers really attack. Having Ben Simmons, just they can really dominate that aspect of the game.
I agree.
Matchups. What are you, you know, interested to see?
I mean, even though I just made a mention to it, I'm interested to see Al Horford versus Joel Embiid. Obviously, Al Horford is tremendous in everything he does. He does everything extremely well. Nothing great, nothing bad, just everything very consistently. He's going to be masked with the tall task of limiting Joel Embiid. We saw Embiid struggle a little bit last series, you know, obviously coming back from that orbital fracture and having to wear a mask. I'm sure he's slightly uncomfortable. But for me, I'm looking at that matchup, you know, an old vet versus a young new stud who, you know, could impact the series either way dramatically.
Yeah, I think that's a big matchup for the Celtics and the Sixers. Like you said, you know, can Horford slow him down enough? Obviously, you're not going to completely take him out of the game, especially with his size. But can he slow him down? He's gone from having to guard Giannis to guarding Embiid, which is a huge, huge task. Another matchup I'm interested to see is who they put on Ben Simmons. You know, who do they throw at him? I think Brad Stevens is going to throw an array of guys. Can they kind of slow him down at times?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you say about Ben Simmons, especially with Jalen Brown being out, you know, you're going to see a little Tatum, a little Marcus Morris. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw some Marcus Smart just because
you'll see Marcus Smart for sure.
Yeah, but even still, I don't know if that will do much because we know Ben Simmons is just a tank.
Yeah, Semi Ojeleye too. I think he'll probably get some run on him.
I always forget about him.
Yeah, he's. I mean, they just have a lot of different guys they like to play. Bench-wise, I think it's an interesting matchup, too, because we saw the Sixers bench have some really big moments against the Heat. You know, Boston has some guys. Marcus Smart is one of those guys. Marcus Morris is one of those guys. But can they step up? Who has the bigger impact? Can they, you know, help their team win, especially with Boston side? You know, you look at Morris as somebody who can kind of create, get hot offensively. And even Marcus Smart has had some big offensive games. I think, what was it, last year he hit like a couple threes in one game. Like, they need these guys to have these lucky performances to beat the Sixers.
Yeah, I mean, even Shane Larkin had a few big games for the Celtics in round one.
Yeah, honestly, I want to say it was
game two. They were home.
Yeah, and like I want to say 2 or 3 years ago when he was on the Brooklyn Nets, Shane Larkin started the season shooting like 50% from three, and then he got a concussion. He was terrible. But before that, he was knocking down three-point shots, and he's the kind of guy that can be really pesky. Size-wise, it'll be interesting to see where Brad Stevens plays him and who he matches him up against. X-factor-wise, who do you – you know, what's going to be a deciding factor in the series?
Now, is this for either team or just in general in the series?
Just in general. You can get one for both if you want.
I mean, I think for the Celtics, I think it's – especially because Jaylen Brown being hurt, and I'm going to say Jason Tatum for the Celtics. I think Jason Tatum, even though he's already been given these huge shoes to fill right from the get-go with Gordon Hayward going down, he's played well all season. He played good in the first round. He's got to play at another level again for them to be successful, I think, especially with Jaylen Brown being hurt. They're going to ask for more of Tatum. Tatum's going to have to take on more of an offensive load. And for me, Terry Rozier is a close second as an important X factor, but because he's as inconsistent, I think Jason Tatum has the more likelihood of being an X factor for the Celtics. And then on the flip side for the Sixers, I'm going with Joel Embiid. I think because of like the size issue I've mentioned prior, I think if he can dominate the paint, which is a very likely situation, especially because, you know, Greg Monroe isn't a great defender and Al Horford is a good defender, but, you know, Al Horford won't be matched up against him or out there at all times with him. At least I don't see that. So I think Embiid on the Sixers side would be huge to Jason Tatum on the Celtics.
Yeah, I could see that. I think Tatum and Rozier would need to have really big series and just step up. I think health's a big factor for the Sixers. You know, obviously the fracture just happened to Embiid, making sure he can stay on the floor. Nobody gets hurt. And for the Sixers, I think, you know, they're obviously the more talented team in the situation. They do lack the playoff experience. So it's like staying in the moment, being that second round and kind of pushing forward, I think is going to be really important. Prediction for the series?
I'm going with Sixers in five. I wanted to say Sixers in six, but because of the Jaylen Brown injury, I think they're going to be slow out the gate. And the Sixers, to me, are just cruising, and I think this is going to be a rather quick series.
Yeah, I can definitely see the five, but I feel like I'm just going to give Boston like a little extra respect and give Sixers in six. You know, maybe Brad Stevenson kind of squeezed one out. Maybe we see a cold shooting game from the Sixers or something. So I'm going to go Sixers in six. MVP of the series.
MVP of the series, I'm going to say Joel Embiid. I think Ben Simmons was the first round MVP for them. I'm definitely going with Joel Embiid for this round.
I'm going to go Ben Simmons again. I just love what he's doing. And, you know, he can just provide so many problems, especially when they supply him with that LeBron-like lineup with four shooters surrounding him. And like you mentioned, he's finding a way to score even without a jump shot. We saw a little bit of a post fadeaway type of thing, which could honestly be huge for his game because he doesn't really need a lot of moves because, like you mentioned, he has the fancy dribbling, can get in the paint, kind of hit a lot of different layups. So I think Ben Simmons is a guy because he just is such a mismatch, just like, you know, Joel Embiid. They have two guys in their team that just cause so many problems. Then they can throw out that versatile lineup with a lot of shooters. Very tough team to defend.
Yeah, very LeBron-like too, that little fadeaway he has when he drives and fades back.
Yeah, and it's I don't even know if there's much to do to defend it, you know, especially because he's so good going to the rim. You can't really get up into him that much.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, like you mentioned, if he starts making that like a patent shot, then, you know, forget it. That's another aspect of his game that's almost unguardable.
Yeah, you're going to need to start bringing in guys just to defend some of these freaks at the point guard position. That wraps it up for Sixers Celtics. You can catch the game tonight. As always, thank you for hopping on, Corey. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You can listen to the NBA Outlet on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OGGBasketball.com, Google Play, and Dash Radio.